Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright just getting into the studio. We're going to be starting up the show in about a couple of minutes, so hang tight and enjoy the tunes. And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuskegee Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making the show part of your Monday afternoon as we are here live in the WMFO studios in Medford, broadcasting to you live from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. here with you for a full 2 hours. And what a day it's been thus far. And here I am. I'm looking at my phone, just anxiously checking to see if there will be any more sort of breaking news. Because when I woke up this morning, I knew that today for me personally was going to be an eventful day. That I already knew. And it started out as such. Get up in the morning, cook me a nice breakfast, some egg omelets and biscuits. And then I leave the house. But before I leave the house, suddenly my phone starts buzzing. And I see the notification with the GIF, the mysterious GIF that had people speculating on Twitter. Bergeron walking towards the camera, giving a little wink. You know what that reminded me of? That reminded me a lot of when Tom Brady did that Super Bowl commercial back in February of 2020. When the whole world was basically wondering, is Brady going to return to the Patriots or is he going to leave to go play elsewhere? He's walking away from the camera. His back is in the shadows. You couldn't tell whether if he was walking towards or walking away. When he first released that snapshot of that particular scene. But with this particular news, there wasn't really much mystery. All of the anticipation and all of the curiosity surrounding the Bruins and Patrice Bergeron came to an end when the news broke that Patrice Bergeron was going to be returning officially, having signed a one-year deal to return for the Boston Bruins for his 19th season. And I released a video that's probably going viral on Twitter right about now. But either way, pretty fired up, pretty pumped, pretty excited. And let me tell you why I think this is such a huge deal for the Boston Bruins. Number one, you have the face of your franchise and the guy who we all know is the greatest defensive forward in the history of the NHL back on the team, and what was looking as if that this team was going to be beginning the 2022-23 season with a lot of uncertainty and question marks surrounding the team. You have the one certain thing back, and it brings a level of ease and comfort to everyone else on that team and in the organization, and as well as the Bruins fan base. That's number one. Number two, if Bergeron decided that he wasn't going to come back after all, if, who in the hell was going to anchor that top line? I'd like to know. Who were the next best thing that the Bruins were going to turn to and say, hey, you know what? You're the guy that could slide into that top line, you know, and anchor Marchand, and who knows, maybe Jake DeBrus is playing on that top line right wing spot. Who? You don't have that guy. And no, Pavel Zacha wasn't going to be that top line center. So while the excitement was apparent, not only on Twitter, but also even in the streets of Boston, where I had one random fan literally approached me in Starbucks and saying, you that guy from Twitter, right? And I was like, yeah. I don't know you, but okay. But immediately, he wanted to talk Bruins with me. And no, I'm completely not making this up. This happened in Seaport this afternoon before I even made my way to the studio. And as we're talking, a thought occurred to me. You feel a hell of a whole lot better about the Boston Bruins today than you did a week ago. Be honest. Do you? I sure as hell do. And then, oh, by the way, the Bruins released a GIF with David Krejci smiling. And at that point, everybody knew that David Krejci was coming back. But in the world of speculation and unsureness, no one wants to be that jackass who goes out and about and assuming that a tweet means one particular thing, but in reality, you know. So I kind of held back on making any sort of presumptions or assumptions on that it meant that David Krejci was going to be coming back. But in my heart of hearts, I was like, Krejci! That's exactly what I knew and what I meant when I tweeted that out earlier. And then when the details of the contract came out, my excitement level went from a 5 to a 10. So, folks, Krejci and Bergeron, they're both officially back. You have your answers for your top line and your second line centermen moving forward, at least for this upcoming season. You have your answer there, right? Great. Now, let's dive into the specifics here. The only concern that I have for Krejci, and this is just one concern that I have, he had been away from the NHL for a year. How will his body adjust to playing in an NHL rink and with the grueling schedule that is the NHL after a year away? And I think that's a very fair question to ask, especially the audience that are listening and those that are, you know, watching the stream on Twitter and whatnot, has decided to stream the first segment of the show on Twitter. I do believe that this is definitely going to be something to keep an eye out for when the season begins, especially as we move through the early days of the season, as we get to December, January, to see what Coach Jim Montgomery handles David Krejci. Because, let's be honest, we need David Krejci more than David Krejci needed us. Because, let's face it, the Eric Haller experiment last season, it wasn't an unmitigated disaster, but it wasn't something that made you want to jump out of your pants and say, oh my God, let me just whip out the sausage. It didn't move the needle for me. If anything, at times, I felt like Eric Haller on the ice was like watching the needle in the haystack. You knew it was there, but it wasn't to be found easily by the naked eye. That in itself was problematic. But with Krejci returning, you knew that the one thing that you could rely on was going to be back in the lineup again this season. Consistency. Him playing with Taylor Hall, I think, is going to be the biggest difference maker for Taylor Hall himself this upcoming season. Because let's be honest, Taylor Hall at times was an absolute no-show. On a lot of given nights, Taylor Hall was there, but his offense wasn't there to be found, leaving you feeling more to be desired. And that's part of the reason why I strongly felt that when the news broke in terms of David Krejci, I said to myself, the one player who is probably going to benefit from this more than anyone else, Taylor Hall. Because we all remember when Taylor Hall was acquired during the 2021 shortened season due to COVID, how much his offense exploded on the scene, and you saw Krejci's impact with Taylor Hall on that second line and how much it meant to that team. And I think it's very fair to say that it was sorely missing last season. It was. But in regards to Bergeron's return is going to be all the more important. Why? Because here's the reminder that Bruin fans got to remember. Marchand's going to miss the first couple of months of the season. At bare minimum, the first 2.5-3 months. At bare minimum. It would be a miracle if Marchand returns sooner than most predicted. But let's play it safe. Let's say he returns sometime in December. At least you have Bergeron, who's on that top line. And let's just say that Bergeron and DeBrusque on that top line. And whoever is going to slot into that left wing spot on the first line should benefit from playing with Bergeron. Who that person will be, only time will tell. We haven't even gotten to training camp as of yet. But there's no denying the impact of David Krejci and Patrice Bergeron's return to the Boston Bruins and what it means for this year's team. With both of those guys being back, and you know that you're going to get Marchand back at some point, you know you're going to get Charlie McAvoy back, remember, because he's also slated to miss time to begin the season as well, and as well as Matt Grizzlick, who is slated to also miss time to start the year. When those guys come back fully healthy and loaded, there's no reason not to expect the Boston Bruins to be a playoff team again next season. As to what happens when they get there or if they get there, that's anybody's guess. The phone lines are open. If you want to call me and talk to me about the return of Bergeron and Krejci, call me at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. And there's one thought I want to also add here real quick before I go to music break. And that is, with Bergeron and Krejci returning, can we all admit that at least there won't be a leadership void in the locker room? Because that really would have been a very real thing if Bergeron decided that he was going to retire. That in itself is something you don't have to worry about. Because it's not just Bergeron, the player on the ice, the current and defending Selke Award winner, the most Selkies in NHL history that we're talking about, that in terms of his impact on the ice. We're talking about someone whose leadership cannot be overstated. We're talking about someone who knows how to work with the younger player on the roster. Someone who knows and has the full attention of that locker room. And with the first-year head coach of Jim Montgomery, he will definitely make things a lot easier for Jim Montgomery. Because, let's be honest, a first-year head coach who has never worked in the Bruins organization before, up until now, and you entering that locker room, and that locker room is not like any other locker room in the NHL in terms of the leadership core. We're talking about between Bergeron, Krejci, McAvoy, Marchand, and company. You know that with Bergeron there, the locker room is going to take care of itself. And it should settle a lot of different nerves that Jim Montgomery may be feeling, especially as he starts his first season as the head coach of the Boston Bruins. I'll leave you with that as something to think about as we get ready to go to break. As it is another scorching day outside. And let me tell you something, folks. Relief is around the corner, and I couldn't be more pumped. I couldn't be more excited. Seriously. Because I'm just about tired of the 90-degree weather. Oh, man. Like I got a phone call coming in. And if there's anything that I do know, as I was saying before I got the phone call, before I go to a caller here, is that with the cooler weather that's coming, I'm literally screaming on top of my lungs like, thank God. Thank God. And on top of that, came a pretty good amount of good news today. Let's go to Connor in Boston. You're listening. This is the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 WMFO. What's going on, Connor?
Shukri, great to hear you on the radio again, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Not bad. So a couple things for you. You know, I think the signings today were, and some of the things Bergeron said in this press conference are really good to hear. But, you know, a couple things I just to kind of bring it back to neutral a little bit. One of my biggest concerns, and I wanted to get your take on it, was I'm kind of worried about the foot speed the Bruins are going to have. I mean, you looked at Tampa, you looked at Colorado in the Cup Final last year, and they were flying around the ice, and the Bruins just weren't quite at that level, and I think Shining Bergeron and Krejci isn't going to quite get them to that level. So that's something that concerns me for one. So I was wondering your take on that.
And it is a good point, because, as you mentioned, the speed of Colorado, and even let's take it a step beyond that, Colorado, Tampa Bay, I mean, I would even go as far as, I mean, Calgary, for goodness sakes. I mean, although Calgary, they're going through a bit of a change right now, obviously having just traded like Matthew Tkachuk to Florida in exchange for Jonathan Huberdeau and whatnot. But this never was a team that was predicated on speed. But as far as, let's say, for example, you look around the East, do they have the speed to compete with the New York Rangers? Not necessarily. Do they have the speed to compete with let's say, for example, I'm just thinking in terms of like the wild card teams from last year, sure. like Carolina, for example, who at times it just seemed like Carolina, for example, last year seemed to be a lot more faster at times than the Bruins were. But to wrap up my point before I allow you to continue, when I think about the Bruins and I get that in terms of Bergeron and Krejci, the excitement and so forth, and then the concern of in terms of the lack of speed, because this is a little bit of an older team when you think about like some of the older guys, like obviously Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand is getting up there in age, as well as like Nick Foligno, as well. You just wonder if they don't have the speed, how are they going to beat some of these teams in the East, especially on a nightly basis where, and I've talked about this since May, or even since June for that fact of the matter, that the Atlantic Division is going to be a hell of a whole lot more tougher beginning in October than it was last season.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And, I mean, you bring up Nick Foligno, and that's a good segue to my second point here. Is, I mean, let's talk about Nick Foligno for a second. That guy got paid more millions of dollars than goals he scored all last season. He needs to go. I don't care where he goes, the ninth floor, off to Charles. I don't care where he goes. You can't have him on the team. But to that point, the fourth line is something that still concerns me. I mean, you know, if Nick Foligno is going to be out there every day, like that's not going to be a good line for your team. And again, I mean, I hate to keep bringing up the Avalanche, but they're the good blueprint to look at right now.
Absolutely.
And in the playoffs, third and fourth lines win you a lot of hockey games. And I think having Zacha helps a lot, even though I think we're paying him a little too much. But having Zacha...
$3.5 million for 1 year is too much?
I do think so. I think if you went to arbitration, you could have got him for, you know, maybe around three, close to two and a half. And especially if you go to arbitration, you look at the guys they just signed. They signed Bergeron for, what, two and a half? He was not going to get more than Bergeron in arbitration. That's just me. I don't know how that all would have gone. But that's just how I feel right now. We'll see come how the season goes. But, I mean, you're going to need a lot of young guys to step up, in my opinion. You look at guys like Mark McLaughlin. He came in, he was scoring goals at a pretty good rate last season when he was on the roster. I think...
By the way, real quick, Connor, like Mark McLaughlin's role is going to be even more important, because just before you call, I was talking about this. For those that are watching the stream of this segment on Twitter, I pointed out that the guys that are going to be missing significant time to start the season, Marchand, Grizzly, right. and as well as Charlie McAvoy, the young guys like McLaughlin is going to be so important. You're gonna need those young guys to step up. Just give me one quick second. Hold on. Looked like I may have lost him on unintentionally, but Connor, call back a little later on. Maybe in something here with the switchboard. But as I was saying, you need like some of the younger guys to be able to step up huge, especially when you have the key guys that's going to be missing time to start the season. And I get what you're saying, Connor, in terms of the speed of the Bruins. This was never going to be a team going into 2022-23. That you could say, you know what, that team speed could be the difference maker. They're not the Devils, who you could say they are a faster team than the Bruins right now. They're not the Rangers. Hell, they're not even Carolina. They're not even Florida, for the fact of the matter. We do have another caller, and this is Alex in Denver. Alex, welcome to the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 WMFL. What's going on?
Thanks, Shukri. Not much. Man, off that point of the speed of the Bruins, just wanted to ask, free agent still out there who is an absolute gamer and still scores, Phil Kessel, could get him at a lower salary. I feel like he could help with that core group, veteran guy there. And again, they're not a speed team, so what's your thoughts on that?
But in terms of Phil Kessel, and I actually tweeted about this a while back, and my concern is Phil Kessel with what money? There's basically no cap room just about left. Like the little bit of cap room that they had, that's just about gone now with the signing with Pavel Zacha. If they were going to sign, let's say, like Phil Kessel, as you mentioned, and I personally have wanted Phil Kessel back with the Bruins just for the mere fact of what he brings to the table in terms of his production, especially coming to playoffs. You should have did that early in the offseason, but now with their cap situation, I just don't see how unless he signs, let's say, a one-year deal or whatever with the team and the Bruins are able to finagle some sort of a trade going into the trade deadline, maybe and only maybe, but right now the Bruins are really at a point where they're close to having next to no cap room, if you get what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Definitely maybe a possible trade deadline acquisition there. It's a good point.
Absolutely. I appreciate you calling in, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. You're
great. Yeah, so I've for those who follow me on Twitter, you have seen me talk about this. Like, about Phil Kessel in the past. But at this moment in time, I just don't see how this is going to be a feasible thing. I truly don't. So, with all that being said, it's been one hell of a segment so far to start the show. We are going to go with a music break, though. And coming up next, David Krejci's return. I want to specifically focus on Krejci for this next segment. What are some of the intangibles that David Krejci will bring to the Bruins next season in his return? I'm going to give you my thoughts on that and much, much more coming up here next on the Shukri Wright Show. Here with you until 7 on 91.5 FM WMFO. in Memphis. You can stream the show nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org.
Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Let's get down to business. Give you one more night to get this. We've had a million, million nights just like this. So let's get down to business. Let's get down to business. Girl, you've been on my wish list. Way more than bad, you vicious. Clean, delicious. Won't doubt it, I know you bout it. Bodega, she like my outfit. Broke boy, no, can't be around it. When it's big business, I hit my accountant. Let's get down to business. Give you one more night to get this. We've had a million, million nights just like this. So let's get down to business. Let's get down to business. Give you one more night to get this. It's been a million, million nights just like this. So let's get down to business. Shorty get down, yeah, she don't play up. She don't downgrade, better get your weight up. How I last this long, stay prayed up. Now she cheapin' with a tailor, she wanna blaze up. Paid a 100 mil, I couldn't get my grades up. Upgrade my grip until I never change up. Upgrade my whips and my crib and my key. Let you get down to the business she did. Don't ever fall away, but we can live them if we stay the same. I can't do this for another day, so let's get down to business.
Let's get down to business. Give you one more night to get this. We've had a million, million nights just like this. So let's get down to business.
Let's get down.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuss, Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. I'm here with you until 7 o'clock here on these airwaves. You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. Had a couple of callers during the last segment, which was tremendous as always, so I appreciate those who call into the program and those who listen to what I have to say in regards to the Bruins and so forth. So I figured that I'll spend one more segment talking about the Bees, most notably David Krejci, because David Krejci really does bring an air of curiosity surrounding him. All the while, there's buzz with Krejci returning back to the Boston Bruins, which is 100% like palpable and understandable. But there are some concerns that I do have in regards to David Krejci and as well as what he may potentially be able to bring forth for this team for this upcoming season. So let's start with this. We know that David Krejci is was one of the better playmakers in the NHL in terms of distributing the puck, making that line, whichever line that he was on, whether it was the top line or the second line, better with the when he had actual wingers to play with. Now, should everything go right, Krejci will have Pastrnak and Taylor Hall, pardon me, on his left side for an entire season. But I also do think that it's also fair to wonder, he has been away from the NHL for a full year. How will he fare returning back to the NHL? I think it's a fair question to ask, because one thing that I will caution Bruin fans, and that is expecting him to be the player that he was prior to him leaving for the Czech Republic. I don't think he's going to be that player anymore. If he is, great. That is a bonus in terms of him producing offensively, and you know what you're going to get from Pastrnak, and with an engaged Taylor Hall, you know what you can get from him as well. But again, with Krejci, can he readjust himself to playing in the NHL, on the NHL rink? Can he readjust himself to playing a grueling NHL schedule? Because we all know just how long the season is and how grueling it can be. And the thing that I wonder about Krejci the most is whether he'll be in tip-top condition, is his production. Because Krejci, the last couple of years, he was solid. He was almost near typical what you expect from Krejci. But I do wonder, him being back, albeit under a new head coach now, Bruce Cassidy is gone, how will he fare? As I was saying in the last segment, I said that the one player who I genuinely believe is going to benefit from this the most is Taylor Hall. Because, again, we all know and have seen how good Taylor Hall is when he's engaged. The problem was last season was that there were too many times where Taylor Hall looked like he was absolutely disengaged. Not good. Especially where in the early portion of the season, you need your second line to produce. Your second line right now of Taylor Hall, David Krejci, and David Pastrnak looks to be pretty healthy. So I expect them to produce offensively, especially given that Marchand is going to miss time to start the season. He's not going to be on that top line to start the year. That's why I think that from Jump Street. You need Hall and Pastrnak to be locked and loaded and ready to go. Can Krejci keep up with both players? Again, it's been a year away. We don't know. Training camp hasn't even started. But those are just questions just to ponder upon and to think about. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm excited for Krejci to return. But I'm also curious and concerned whether if he will be able to produce at an elite offensive level that he was able to before he left for the Czech Republic. If you got thoughts on that, you can call into the program, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. As we're talking the return of Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, most notably right now, David Krejci is the one guy who I do think could be an absolute difference maker on that second line. But there is one thing I do wonder. What happens with Eric Halla now? What happens with him? Because Eric Halla is not going to be on our second line no more. At least not going into the start of the new season. He's not. And you know your third line center is going to be Charlie Coyle. So where does that leave Eric Halla? That's the question. On what line is he going to be playing on the left wing side? Is he going to be playing the wing at all? But who knows? Because right now, as it currently stands, I do think that it is a question to wonder. And I sincerely believe that. We got a phone call. One of the things that I've thought about earlier, and I had this conversation with a gentleman in Seaport, and I was telling the story during the first segment, Krejci. How will he readjust? The offensive production. Because it is something that I do think that if we were to talk about David Krejci and himself, I do think that Krejci, he is going to produce, but at what level that remains to be seen. Because the reality is, he was gone for a year. But I do think now, for the first time in God knows how long, he does have wingers to play with in Hall and Pastrnak. So that's something that I'm truly looking forward to seeing that line work together. Let's go to the phones now. We got Cam in Chelmsford. You're on the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM, WMFO. What's going on, man?
How we doing, Shukri? Long time no talk. I think it was back, last time I talked to you was before Game 5 of the Carolina series.
It was. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just got a couple of things to say about Krejci. I've always, you know, people have known me, and they know that I'm not, like, the most positive Bruins fan in the world, but I don't know how anyone come out of this not feeling positive about how the Bruins are at least looking at the current moment. I know Marchand's hurt and all that, and you have a lot of injuries to deal with, but, you know, it's good to be positive, especially with, you know, the heat the way it is, how you brought it up, you know. Weather's pretty bad right now. But say about Krejci, that I've been looking at. I was doing some research, and cut me off if you talked about this earlier.
Sure.
He had 14 points in 16 games. Hall had 14 points in 16 games when he came from Buffalo.
Correct.
David Krejci assisted with Hall on 13 of those 16 points. If you extrapolate that out to an 82-game season, you get about 71 points. And I know it's, you know, we're going off numbers, and that was a pandemic season, and you know, it was 2 years ago at this point and all this, but he got those points with Craig Smith when he wasn't useless. And if you add Pastrnak in that spot instead of Craig Smith, I think you can maybe reach that 60-70 point plateau again. That's 140 points. That adds a ton of offense to a team that has really struggled with it. We've seen it for the last, you know, how many years?
Last few seasons, a year.
So
yeah, like, but Cam, real quick. You know, it's funny, in terms of David Krejci and in terms of Craig Smith, because I feel like in a way that he's become like the forgotten factor in all of this. In terms of, Craig Smith, what can we realistically expect him or expect of him going into season number three as being a Boston Bruin? Like, because it felt like at times that Craig Smith took a step backward last season. I mean, he did have a good first season with the Bruins, but for some reason, I feel like he just gets lost in the shuffle in a sense. And whereas, you know what he's capable of because you've seen it. He's been a consistent 20 goal scorer, but the reality is that now he's not going to be on that second line no more because Pastrnak is not getting moved up to the top line. Hall is going to stay on that second line. So you wonder, can he make it work with Charlie Coyle on that third line?
I think you already know my feelings about Charlie Coyle, about him not being good at all or worth his contract in any way. But here's the thing about Craig Smith, and he only has himself to blame. He had this great year. I mean, you had a guy like David Krejci feeding him the puck, and, you know, I think Krejci is, you know, you talk about a player getting lost in the shuffle. I feel like Krejci was that guy for a long time. He put up 60, 70-point years. And
Cam, one second.
Krejci's doing nothing.
Yes, I'm sorry, Cam. Go ahead.
So I was just saying, I feel like Krejci was the player that got lost in the shuffle a lot. He had a lot of 60, 70-point years, and people would talk about how he's a passenger and a ghost. And Craig Smith only has himself to blame in a certain sense for how he's been treated by the Boston fans and the Boston media, and even maybe the Boston coaches. He had the 20-point year. Sure, he had Krejci. Hala comes in. He can't produce, but he had to be able to prove that he could do that without an elite playmaker on his line. He couldn't do it.
But hold on a second. I want you and all of the Bruin fans who are listening to really just think about this for just a moment. You go from David Krejci to Eric Hala. Can we all agree honestly that is a bit of a step back, or should I say a downgrade from in terms of what you would typically get from Krejci to Hala? Yes or no?
Oh, absolutely. But the thing is, Craig Smith never really showed anything at any point last year. There was no point.
I agree.
Maybe the two weeks he was playing with, when Frederick could actually figure out how to play hockey, the 2 weeks with the 11-12-13 line, that was all right.
Right.
But other than that, that was maybe a 12-game stretch of an 82-game year. It wasn't. Sure, I can give up. Sure, he had a good 2 weeks. Good for him. But you weren't
getting the same consistency that you were getting during the 2021 shortened season due to COVID. That was my criticism of Craig Smith, in which that can we get that consistent play throughout the entire season, not just for a 2 week stretch? Because outside of that, you got next to nothing from Craig Smith. You got absolutely next to nothing from Trent Frederick. And earlier in the show, I was talking about, because of the fact that you're going to be missing key guys, especially most notably Brad Marchand from that top line on the left wing spot, you need the young guys to step up. And frankly, if we're going to be honest, I'm not so sure what you're going to get from Mark McLaughlin and Trent Frederick come this season, because they've shown us so little in terms of, can they produce offensively? McLaughlin played well during his stint when he came up last year with the Bruins, but over the course of the long haul, what can you realistically expect from those guys? Because you're going to need them the first 2-3 months, because David Krejci and Patrice Bergeron alone cannot carry the load.
No. And one more thing before I let you go, Shukri.
Sure.
This preseason is going to be probably the most exciting one for a long time. There's a lot of young kids that I have my eye on to make some noise, or, you know, maybe prove that they can at least play against some of these guys, because it's not only the NHLers, but some of these NHLers that they're going to go against, they can hang with. Maybe Jacob Lauko can make that next step. I know he struggled in Providence with injuries, and a little bit with consistency. But what we've seen with him in the preseason, he was going to get the call-up before he got hurt last year.
Yeah.
Fabian Lysell will probably play again in the preseason. I don't think he'll get I don't think he'll be able to make the jump. I think they'll
He's not NHL ready, but like but to get the first taste of Fabian Lysell, I think would be huge for sure.
Yeah. And this is definitely with a new coach and you know this is it. This is the last kick of the can, bar none. The Bruins front office and the Bruins coaches are going to be looking at every possible option to create any type of offense consistently. And I know the preseason isn't the longest thing in the world, 6-7 games, but if they can find anything that's worth calling up, giving a shot, and if that can stick, this team can make some noise. I'll leave it at that.
Absolutely. I appreciate you calling into the show, Cam. Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, this Bruins team is definitely has a lot of question marks, but has generated a lot of buzz today. And I think once the buzz really like settles down before we get to training camp where it'll ramp up again, no questions asked, I just wonder, in terms of some of the younger players that I mentioned already, in terms of McLaughlin, Frederick, and what you're going to possibly like, expect to see from those guys, I just wonder, ultimately, if those guys are going to be able to contribute not only meaningful minutes, but to be able to help out offensively. But in terms of going back to Krejci, just to wrap up this point, we've got a few more minutes left before we have to wrap up hour number one, before we go to hour number two of the show. I do think that Krejci's return is going to be one of genuine curiosity, but I also do think that this is really the last great chance for this team to potentially do something. We don't know how the season's going to go. We don't know if the season is going to start well. You'd hope that it will. You don't know if the season is going to maybe perhaps get up to a bumpy start. I mean, there is that possibility because I think we've all have taken a pretty good look at the schedule for the Boston Bruins to start the season, and it does not look good. It is looking rather tough, to say the least. That's probably putting it nicely. So, with all of that being said, phone lines are open. You can call into the program, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. As I mentioned, the schedule doesn't look easy, especially once you get to like November. You obviously got the home opener on October 15th against Arizona. You got the season opener, which is on October the 12th against the Washington Capitals. And once you get to like November, I want to give you just a quick stretch here. Between, I would say, the first 10 days of November, you got the Penguins on the 1st of November. You got the Rangers on the 3rd of November. They're both away. And then on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday night, November 5th, you got the Maple Leafs in Toronto. And then you're back home on November 7th against the St. Louis Blues. And November 10th, you're also at home against the Calgary Flames. So, and I'm just using that as an example as to say, like, listen, you need this team to get up to a good start. At least the schedule in October is somewhat favorable in which that it's not too difficult, but it's not a cakewalk either. Like, you do have favorable matchups against Arizona or even Anaheim, for example. But those matchups against the Capitals, the Panthers, and the Senators are going to be really interesting. And not to mention Minnesota, Dallas, and Columbus. Detroit is going to be a coin toss, if you will. We don't know. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be really interesting. I can't wait to see how this all unfolds. And there's a lot to look forward to now. And I'm sure, like, as we get to September, and I'm putting this out there now, once we get into September and when training camp begins, I will be doing a lot more of the Bruins preview of the season to come, at least the 2022 the 2022 portion of the schedule, because I think those first couple of months is really going to dictate where this team ends up in terms of playoff picture and whether this team makes the playoff or not. Because we all know that American Thanksgiving is the typical benchmark as to, hey, whether if your team is going to make the playoffs or not. And on Black Friday, they're playing the Carolina Hurricanes at 1 o'clock. So that's going to be interesting to see where this team ends up by that point. Who knows? But you gotta let the games play out itself, you know? That's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the show. Man, it's been absolutely jam-packed. A lot of Bruins talk during the first hour. And it's been wonderful. Coming up next, hour number two of the show. Is it me or something's not adding up here? Because the more I begin to think about what's going on with the New England Patriots, the more I begin to question someone's particular sanity, because it doesn't make sense. I want to tell you exactly what I'm talking about coming up next on the other side of this music break. Hour number two of the show is coming up next, right here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Kisses of the sun were sweet, I didn't blink, I let it in my eyes. Like an exotic drink, the radio playing songs that I have never heard. I don't know what to say, oh, not another word, just like